best love is love.
Hi, Deani. Oh my God, you are never going to believe what my wife said to me the other day. I cannot
wait. Jamie, save it for the Patreon.
What? Oh, right. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Okay. Listen, everyone at home, if you want to hear what my wife said, plus a lot of other things that I have been dying to get off my chest, and there are some things, y'all, there really are, you need to come join us on our Patreon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's me and my good friend Deani here, the amazing millennial who is young and sprightly, spilling all the tea in our queer little lives and exclusive contents that you literally cannot find anywhere else, literally nowhere else in the world.
The link is in the bio. Come be part of the queer family.
Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
This episode and the entire season of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM26 for a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Coming out as trans and being able to redefine what masculinity is. So I feel like this is another, I guess, extension of that, is like redefining what dadhood looks like and parenthood as men and mask people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really exciting and it's hopeful. And I think it's really brought us to so much other representation of healthy masculinity and other pregnant men and trans dads. And so it's been very hopeful and positive and in that little bubble for sure.
I love it. We need more trans dads out in the world to show cis dads how they can do it better.
Yeah.
Real dads carry their baby.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. And this episode, I tell you what, does not disappoint on that front. But before I get into it, it is also Pride Month. Y'all, happy Pride, bitches. It is Pride Month. We are kicking it off with another Pride extravaganza on the Queer Family Podcast, which means if you've listened before, you know. But if you haven't listened to the Pride extravaganzas before, you have to sing it. It means that instead of just one episode per week throughout the entire month of June, I release 2 episodes of pure, beautiful queer family goodness per week. So you get one on Monday and you also get one on Thursday. And these episodes that I have lined up for you this month are to die for. They're amazing. Before I tell you today's guest, I do have to mention it is also today, June 1st, LGBTQ Families Day, which is a very important day for all of us. It is actually the 21st annual LGBTQ Families Day, y'all. This was started by Dana Rudolph, aka Mombian, who's a lesbian blogger who's been around for a very long time and who has been an excellent resource for LGBTQIA+ families for many, many years. And today we celebrate the joy and resilience of LGBTQ families by sharing family photos, LGBTQ kids books, an anecdote or words of support wherever you are social, wherever you are on your social media. Allies are also welcome. So I invite you, Mombian invites you to go on your social media. If you are there, share one of these things and put the hashtag LGBTQ Families Day. I will also be doing it. I will be looking for ones that I can share on my social media to lift you up and raise you up because we deserve normalization and we deserve representation. So let's do it. Let's saturate social media with our families today because we're freaking beautiful. Now, let me get into today's guest. It's a really good one, y'all. So this Pride Month feels different, right? For all of us, especially if you live in the United States of America. There is so much noise right now coming from our government, from the regime. And it's particularly noise around trans bodies, trans healthcare, and also who gets to build a family, which is exactly why conversations like this matter so much. Today's guests, Chase and Oliver, are two trans dads expecting their first baby this summer. Whoop, whoop. And oh my God, y'all, their story is full of so much joy, so much intention, so much vulnerability, and so much hope. We talk about IVF, pregnancy after testosterone, redefining masculinity, and what it means to become parents while the world debates your existence. This one has so much richness. It's gorgeous. And let me tell you, these two are going to raise one badass kid who I'm going to want to know. And y'all are going to want to hear the story. So without further ado, let's roll this tape. My dog is whining at me for attention and I got to get back to life. But y'all enjoy this episode. Happy Pride, bitches. Let's go. All right. Helen Beulah, please roll this tape. Thank you so much.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Chase and Oliver.
Hello.
Hello. We're so excited to be here.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to have you. And happy Pride. It is officially, we are in Pride Month, y'all. Mm-hmm. You are members of the Pride Extravaganza, which is amazing. You. Yes. And I'm so excited to hear your story. I have stalked you a bit on the gram, as you do. I don't know the full story of the journey, and I can't wait to dig in. And I bet a lot of people are going to be really excited to hear your full story. So without further ado, I do believe it's time for the elevator pitch. Are we ready?
Ready.
All right. On your marks. Get set. Go.
Hi, I'm Oliver and this is Chase. We are currently pregnant and expecting our first child at the end of July. So we're very excited to talk about it here on the pod. A little bit about us. We met just after COVID in 2021 and we've been married for 2 years. We met out in the suburbs of Chicago.
And that's 30 seconds. Is it 1 minute?
30 seconds. 30 seconds. Okay. But I was going to let you go. You know what? You said everything in a nutshell in like 15 seconds. Like you were good. You were like trying to keep it going. The only thing you didn't mention is you have an account on social media, Explore with Chase, where you go to different parts of the country and like talk about if it's queer enough or not, which I freaking love. Like it's more than just that, but I have so many questions for like where I should go next with my family. So thank you for that. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be fun exploring that account as a family now.
Yeah.
With kids, yeah.
Oh God, good luck. Good luck. It changes things a bit. But it's super magical. All right, so we're pregnant. Let's dig in. How did this happen? Who's pregnant? Whose eggs? Whose sperm? Who's like, how did we put this all? It's queer family building, y'all. There is no one particular way, and there are so many paths, and you can't make any assumptions when it comes to queer family building. So let's go. I can't wait to hear the story.
So step one, you stopped testosterone.
So yeah, I'm pregnant.
Oliver's pregnant.
Yeah, Oliver, you're pregnant. You're how many months are you or weeks?
29 and a half right now.
Oh my God.
So in the third trimester, we've got a little bit to go. This is the period where baby is just like exploding with growth. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. And so is belly. And so is everything.
That part. Yeah.
So is everything, right?
There's a lot going on.
A lot. So you stopped testosterone. And how was that? How was that for you?
I've always had a desire to be pregnant. And so even when Chase and I met, that was kind of like aligned. It's something that we talked about early on as queer couples too.
When did you first bring up family building? Because that is a thing that happens really early for us because of all the decisions we have to make.
I feel like we talked about our first date, right?
Yeah, something like that.
We kind of talked about everything, like what are our values? Do we, what do we want to do? Like, where do you see yourself in life? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were both kind of at points where kind of like life-changing points. Oliver was going through a divorce and I was, you know, all throughout my 20s, I was traveling. And so I was ready to kind of settle down and coming back to Chicago. So we were both like, you know, I was kind of just starting to maybe look for an apartment. And then, yeah, kind of starting life. Oh, this is our cat.
Oh, hey, cat. No, it's all just so queer. It's just so queer. Soon it'll be a child, not a cat, mm-hmm. And a cat, actually, because that doesn't stop. So the talk started early, which tracks. Because there are really so many decisions to make, we have to figure out how we're going to do it. And we might not be on the same page with how we might both, it's different from a non-queer conversation. You could, the question is, do you want kids one day? Do you want to have a family? And yes, and you can stop there. But with us, it's like, oh, okay. So do you want kids that are genetically tied to you? Or there are so many things we have to figure out. Do you want a known donor? Do you want an anonymous donor? So many things. So,
yeah, the logistical part of it is so different for queer families. You really have to think about it. You know, we're never going to have an oopsie baby, you know? It's just not going to be, it just doesn't work like that for us.
No, for many of us.
So, yeah. And so we ended up going with a sperm bank, and Chase picked the donor. That's something that I wanted him to be able to do, to find somebody that really reflected his personality and traits.
I want to backtrack a little bit. How did you decide who would carry?
That was easy. Chase didn't really have much interest.
The get-go, you were like, this is not for me at all. Yeah.
No, once I realized I was queer, I was like, oh, great. Maybe my partner will want to carry. And
perfect.
I feel like we were both kind of like, if we don't have kids, that's okay. And I'm like if I really, really needed to carry, I think I would, but who knows, you know? So it was just kind of like organically like, okay, you want to, I don't. Perfect. Next up.
Yeah, that was a short conversation.
I love it when it's easy. It's not always easy. So easy decision. Oliver's going to carry. Oliver, you have to go off testosterone. Mm-hmm. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was kind of challenging. I've been on testosterone for about 14 months. For a big part of my life, I didn't realize that I was trans. And so being able to understand myself in that way and then have access to testosterone, it was really affirming and helped me kind of grow in a lot of ways.
Like you're finally feeling like yourself, and now let's turn it off.
Yeah, let's turn it upside down.
Yeah.
For who knows how long, too. It's like you don't know if it's going to take the first try or like how long it... Some of our friends, you know, are on like year two. And so we're kind of just like, and it's like, okay, how long will you try? We don't know. So it's like, it's kind of a bunch of unknowns, question marks, and taking things step by step.
Yeah,
because I stopped it in January of 2025. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're thinking, okay, I could do this for 12 months. But like Chase said, you don't, and nothing's guaranteed.
I had a recent interview where the couple said to me, every morning we asked each other the question, are we still doing this? Are we still, because it took so long. And it takes a toll, no matter what route it is, right? It takes a toll. We have to work so hard in so many instances to make these families. They're so intentional. Don't get it twisted, folks out there. These are some of the most intentional families you're ever going to meet right here on this show. So you went off in January of 2025, and then you have to give it some time for the eggs to kind of regenerate, I'm assuming. Your body has to do the thing.
Yeah, your cycle has to start because the testosterone suppresses your hormones. So then it goes through a big change and you start ovulating again.
Oof. Yeah. And so then you were able to start up again in, I think you said May?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you started IUI in May.
Yep.
So let's talk about the donor now. Before we get into going into the IUIs and however long that took, let's talk about the donor. Because you said, Chase, you chose the donor. Let's talk about that. I call the search for the donor lovingly the search for the superhuman. We can, not all of us, we can get a little cuckoo-cachoo over it. Because when it's all just out there, if you're looking at a bank, it's like all of a sudden you're in a candy store. And anything you start putting filters on and seeing the things. And so what was it like? What was the donor search like for you?
Well, I feel like my personality is kind of like when I know, I know, and then I make the decision and I don't look back. So it's kind of like that. Like, I don't know how long it took me, but, you know, once you filter, okay, brown hair, blue mm-hmm. eyes, you know, kind of tall, and I, you know, appearance wise. And then it was actually a really cool process of like learning about all of these. Yeah, it's just really interesting, like to hear their like interviews, mm-hmm. their voice, their entire like backgrounds, like mm-hmm. so much of this process. I'm like, this is what all y'all were going through. Like, I'm like, this is so extensive. Like every step of the way is like wild. But yeah, I was really surprised at how detailed everything was. So the first donor I chose actually didn't end up being, didn't take. So we had to switch donors.
Oh, because you only bought like one vial.
We ended up having four.
Yeah, we did four IUIs.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, four IUIs, mm-hmm. not four donors.
Oh, no.
Oh, I was like, no. Oh, my
four,
God.
Yeah, four vials.
No. I would have gone crazy. It was hard enough for me to choose the donor we got. And we mm-hmm. did two donors. But okay, we'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Whew. Y'all, like I say all the time, that donor search can feel so overwhelming. There are so many decisions. There are so many filters. There are so many things to think about, especially for L'Etoile families like us who are building our families so intentionally. Which actually makes this the perfect moment to thank today's sponsor, California Cryobank, y'all. California Cryobank has been proudly helping L'Etoile families fulfill their dreams of parenthood for more than 45 years, y'all. In addition to offering one of the largest and most diverse donor catalogs to choose from, they also provide free vial transfer for partners, which is huge for us queer folks. A personalized letter if needed for second parent adoption, also a huge thing. Free vial storage offers with their Family Today and Family Tomorrow programs, and access to their private sibling donor registry, which I am on, and as are many people. And they offer so much more. They really are pretty amazing. You can start your donor search today. Visit cryobank.com and use code QUEERFAM26. That's QUEERFAM26, like 2026, for a free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Y'all, make those babies and then come tell me about them. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Love is love.
So the first one didn't end up being the one, but it sounds like you were trying to find somebody, Chase, that kind of was similar to you in looks and, you know, possibly any other similarities you could find, because mm-hmm. if you're not going to have a genetic connection, you want at least some kind of something. We all do this that ties us to the baby. And just so as you know, once that baby is here, it doesn't matter. None of it matters, but it matters when you're putting it all together. It matters mm-hmm. so much and it feels so very important. And then that baby is yours no matter what. The genetics mm-hmm. or, you know, it's, we have some of the most beautiful bonds with our kids, especially those of us with the non-bio connection. Like it's special. It's special. Mm-hmm. And I say that as a mother of a bio kid and a non-bio kid, and mm-hmm. the love is the same and the annoyance is the same. So it's all the same. But so you chose donor number one, you did an IUI. Sounds like it didn't work the first time.
Yeah, and then four more times, four more months.
Yeah, well, three more. We did four IUIs with that first donor. Mm-hmm. And then we skipped June. We didn't try in June because it's like, you know.
Let's skip a month.
Let's skip a month, yeah.
Yeah, and we were being quite private about it, too. So that was an interesting piece, too. I wasn't sharing this online at all because, and we kept it pretty private. Mm-hmm. And I was the kind of content creator that, you know, I just share everything that right. I'm ever thinking online. So it was an interesting process that way to be kind of like grieving and like going through kind of like the ups and downs of this whole process. Mm-hmm. But one thing our doctor said is that, which I didn't realize, that a lot of times it's you're not getting pregnant because of the sperm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that once we switched to IVF, we also switched donors. Mm-hmm. And actually the second donor, it was even more of like, I know this is like the one, you know? Oh, and like then it took magic. First try. Yeah. So I feel like when you know,
right. type of thing. I hear that. Mm-hmm. And that's also very queer. Like, it's so like U-Haul.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally hear that too, Chase, about the keeping it private and what a toll that takes on you. Because it's interesting you say that, and I haven't really thought about this. I don't know if I've ever thought about this, but my plan, because I was younger, was we wanted them to be 2 years apart. So we started relatively quickly. And my plan was to get secretly pregnant and then like spring it on all my friends because we already mm-hmm. had a kid. So I kept it private for a long time. And then it took me almost 4 years to get pregnant. It took a toll. I haven't even like thought about that.
4 years. Wow.
And eventually I had to start telling people because it was killing me inside yeah. that I kept having these failure after failure after failure. So I hear that. And I think that's a really valid thing to bring up. And for anybody who is struggling like silently through this, I don't know what the advice is, but we see you, we hear you, we feel you. And whatever it is in the end, it's going to be okay. That's mm-hmm. that's all I want to say with that. These journeys sometimes take a very long time, but you get what you need to get in the end. So then switch donors. This is the one, IVF. It works. Was IVF covered under insurance? Was IUI covered under insurance?
Yeah, we hadn't even considered IVF. We were like, okay, can't afford that. So if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And then once we did so many IUIs, our insurance covers it. Mm-hmm. Which we didn't know. So we're like, okay, obviously, let's try
that's amazing.
The easier one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great because I was at a point, you know, after the fourth failed IUI, like starting to try and come to terms with, okay, maybe we're not going to have kids. Then we ended up just checking to see how much it would cost. And it was covered at 100%.
Holy moly, that's amazing.
I know. Yeah. We had really good insurance through my job. And
that's awesome.
Our only cost really was the sperm.
Right. Which is expensive, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bought five vials in the end, mm-hmm. which is not, it's not cheap. It's not. Yeah. It's not cheap at all. So IVF works. You're pregnant. Can you go back on testosterone once? No, right? Like, no. So you've been off testosterone for over a year, like a year and a half.
Yeah, I've been off of it for almost a year and a half. And it gets passed through breast milk. And so I'm planning on chest feeding. So I'm going to be off of it for a little while after the birth, too.
I want to know, like, how pregnancy is going. And I want to know how you're how your doctors are treating you and like how's it all going, and just I want good news about I just want everything to just be good. Well,
I think what's interesting about is our story too is that when you stop testosterone, that's when I started testosterone.
Oh, you hadn't started testosterone?
No. Yeah, so we going way way back, we met mm-hmm. and as girlfriends, as lesbians.
Yeah.
And then you came out first, and then I came out, and then you started testosterone, and then I started. I'm a little bit behind.
What was that like, though? Wait, can we dig in? What was that like? So, like, when Oliver, like, affirmed himself to you, Chase, like, what, like, how, were you like, wait a second, like, that sounds kind of right mm-hmm. to me, too? Like, dig in.
You know, Oliver and I are kind of like opposites attract a bit. So a part of our, like, Oliver is kind of like Sporty Spice and I'm not Sporty Spice. So even when I think on maybe like our third date, we talked about gender and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I don't know about gender, but I don't really want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then Oliver was like, oh, no, I'm cis, like, for sure.
Oh, how funny.
So then, yeah, it was like, okay, when you cut your hair, that's when you kind of knew. And then I kind of explored with gender as far as, like, identifying as genderqueer and, like, playing. Because, again, I was traveling for so long that you can't really experiment with, like, fashion and, like, gender expression, like, that much.
Right. When you're traveling to different places that might not, be accepting, especially, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then like living out of a backpack.
Oh, that. Yeah, that. that limits fashion in a big way.
Yeah. So it wasn't like this point where I was like, oh, that's me. Because I was like, oh, no, that's Oliver. Because this is like, my brain is like black and white in some way. So I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, that's the trajectory of like being butch. And like, you know, that's like the pipeline. And that mm-hmm. was not my experience at all. I was like very much loved being femme. Mm-hmm. And, but I realized like maybe that was like, you know, a form of drag. Huh. And I don't mind being in drag. But once I cut my hair and I started wearing mask clothing, I was like, oh, like I was feeling very grounded. And it was like the slow progression. And then once it hit me, I was like, I need to throw out all of my femme clothes. It was like this, like, I don't know. It's so crazy. Cause like one, it's really like one day mm-hmm. I'm wearing something and I'm fine. And then the next I'm like, you know, you like try on other thing and you're like, that feels good. And now that feels 10 times worse.
Wow.
In a way.
Yeah. It's like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Like once you know something, you can't unknow it.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Oh, I hear that. That's yeah. I hear that. You found yourself. Mm.
I think it was hard for me too to admit that like I had no idea. I think it's like a bit of like, oh my gosh, I've been living my whole life essentially in drag or, you know, and not even like, you're like a bit disassociating, I feel. At least for me, I felt like I was disassociating. So once I was like in my body, there was like a bit of like grief mm-hmm. realizing that my younger self didn't get this or that I, you know.
Yeah. That you went so long without knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. There's some grief in that.
When I thought I did know myself. Yeah. So, yeah. A lot of queer people feel that too. Maybe that came out late in life or didn't realize that they were queer.
Yeah.
100%. I think it's universal across our community and also so real and true. And we're fucking awesome because we find ourselves. Let's be real. We find ourselves where there are a lot of people who are still living in drag out there in the world who are clueless, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not judging. I'm not trying to judge, but it's like, explored it. We've done the work. What have you done? But yet you want to judge how we show up in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, decentering men and decentering heterosexuality and... Yeah, I feel like it's all connected.
Yeah, and that's why we're better. I don't know. Not judging.
Yes.
I think and it really adds, preparing for having a child, I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, we've been through it. you know, we dove in and we're at points in our life where it's like, you can't tell me who I am because we've already, mm-hmm. you really have to, you know, stand in your power. And so I think being trans and pregnant and trans dads, that's given us, you know, there's obviously a little bit of pushback with that, but we're at a point where it's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah. We're going to live our life.
Yeah. And your baby, your child, children are going to be the better for having you as parents. You're going to raise some really, really badass or some really badass change makers. You know what I mean?
I think we're just doing one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Look at me trying to make more babies for you. But you're going to raise a child that accepts people. You're going to raise your child with acceptance and love. And they're going to be badass change makers. Every single one of our children. Because they know. They see. Mm-hmm. Right? So that kind of gives me a good segue into what it's been like being pregnant out in the world and how the doctors have been, how society has been. Like, do you want to go into that at all? What it's been like in this crazy fucked up country we find ourselves in?
Yeah. We were fortunate to have a primary care doctor that was aware of a fertility clinic in Chicago at a local university that had staff that were trained like gender affirming care. And so we were able to get connected with the University of Chicago's fertility clinic. And so that was like overall a good experience.
That's awesome.
There's always going to be some staff where you have to kind of, you know,
yeah,
help them learn, you know, give some coaching. But overall, it was a really positive experience.
That's
after,
good.
After we got pregnant, it took my brain a little bit to catch up with my body. I feel like there was a period of time where I'm like, okay, what's going on with my body? And having to like do some work to connect that, mm-hmm. Which was a bit challenging. And I wasn't expecting to have for that to be like an issue.
Well, it's so hard first trimester. It's like it hits you like yeah. really hard. It was one day Oliver is like, Mr., I have like a long to-do list and I like to be busy and all this. And then you were like, lay down.
I know.
And then you were like, this yeah. is not, what did I sign up for?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that that is universal in pregnancy, just in general,
totally.
Like what it mm-hmm. does to your body. But now you're adding your gender affirming care and you're adding like, we're adding some layers to it. Queer family building. Here it is. Mm-hmm. That make it a little more complicated and more layers to work through and figure out in our bodies, right?
Yeah.
Took a second, and pregnancy is hard. Some people love it. I didn't love it.
I was aware that there was, you know, like everybody talks about nausea. I had no idea how bad the fatigue was in the first trimester.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get like that a bit now that we're mm-hmm. like in the later parts of it. But yeah, I just felt like I wasn't myself in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, because there's
that.
So many changes.
And there's going to be more. And you're in it to win it. And it's going to be amazing. And you got 10 weeks left to go, which is mm-hmm. great. We're so close.
Second trimester hit, you felt very connected and mm-hmm. yeah, you got your energy back. And that was like such a high for you, I feel.
Yeah, I felt like I got myself back a little bit. You know, I started showing more and I felt more connected with the baby and with my body. And I started to gain some like bump confidence.
Totally.
I love that.
You're walking around in a belly shirt at home.
Yeah. I have like a crop top that sometime I'll walk around in.
You need a crop top that says bun in the oven just to bring it in, bring it home. Oh my God, I love it.
I'm really excited about being pregnant in June and mm-hmm. being able to be a visible seahorse dad out in the community. And
yes, you got to show out and put mm-hmm. and put that crop top on.
Yep.
Let's go. Oh my God, crop top summer. This is so exciting for you. I'm so, like, it's been so long since my kids are 12 and 8. So I was just saying to my wife, like, I feel like I need to hold a baby. Like I miss that holding of the baby, but then I want to give mm-hmm. it back right away. Like, cause it gets tiring real fast. But so I'm so very excited for you. This is like the beginning of everything. Have you talked about parenting and what it's going to look like? And what are your thoughts on being dads out in the world and how you're going to mm-hmm. raise this baby and the things. And if you haven't thought about it, that's good too. Cause you know.
We've definitely had some conversations.
So many. Yeah. How we want to be coming out as trans and being able to redefine what masculinity is. So I feel like this is another, I guess, extension of that is like redefining what dadhood looks like and parenthood as men and mask people.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It's just really exciting and it's hopeful. And I think it's really brought us to so much other representation of healthy masculinity and other pregnant men and mm-hmm. trans dads. And so it's been very hopeful and positive and in that little bubble for sure.
I love it. We need more trans dads out in the world to show cis dads how they can do it better.
Yeah.
Real dads carry their baby.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, that's a shirt. That's a shirt. Oh my God, you have to wear that shirt in Pride. Like with the crop top. Real dads carry their baby. Ooh.
Ooh.
You got to make that shirt and take lots of pictures.
I might just do it. Yeah.
Oh my God. And put a little seahorse, like picture of a seahorse. Oh, look at us. We're making merch.
I like doing stuff like that, like making, using like Cricut machines. There's this embroidery machine at the library that I've been kind of wanting to explore. So we might just make that shirt.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we should.
Super queer. There it is again. Yeah. Super queer. You said embroidery and library in the same sentence.
Guilty.
Amazing. I love it so much. And I just want to ask, are you familiar with Esper Bergman? He and his husband have children that they made the way you make them the queer way. And he has a whole children's publishing company, and he pushes out all these amazing books, and you can get all kinds of books that you can read to your kid that are super inclusive, super awesome, that feature all kinds of parents, trans dads, trans moms, two moms, like everything you can think of is in these books. He's awesome. He's amazing.
I've been treasure hunting for queer kids' books and diverse books. And we already have a pretty nice library that we've already started reading to the belly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One called In My Daddy's Belly.
Ooh, I don't know this one.
Logan Brown. Yeah.
Okay. The trans dad that was on the cover of Glamour magazine. Uh-huh. I think that was the first representation that I saw.
Yes. Of a trans I remember dad. That. In my daddy's belly.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good, okay. So everybody take note. One of these days I'm going to make some kind of resource for all the books, because my wife and I, and many people I talk to, we lean heavily on books to help us talk to our children about our families. And we need more and more and more and more of these books. Like the more books, the better, because they get tired of them. And then we have our favorites that we pull down. But reading the books to them makes it so much easier to just explain our family differences, similarities with the world. So I highly recommend all the books. So check out Esper Bergman and his publishing company. It's pretty awesome. So question, because my son, my 8-year-old, has been saying all he wants to do for a vacation, is find some kind of a house that's alone on a lake where we can swim all day and live in a cabin. Do you know any places?
Yeah, come on over to the Midwest.
Yeah, it'll always have like a special place because that's where we got engaged.
Yeah, oh, I love it. Yeah. Saugatuck. I got to go check out Saugatuck. So many places to go, so little time. But, you know, you can't really fly anymore. So you got to find drive-friendly places. I think we could drive to Michigan, right? Yeah. Well, I love that you go to all of them and you review them and you show us. I appreciate it. And there was like a campground that you went to. I just saw a video. It was like a queer campground or something.
Yeah, that looks
That looks fire. We're campers. We're actually going camping next weekend. We love to camp. So keep doing it is my point. Keep doing it. And I'll keep watching and see if there's a place that we have to try to get to.
Well, vice versa, if you have family-friendly things.
Yeah,
my we'll dream let you know. Is to go to, like, I know there's, like, Family Week in Provincetown or, like, queer family extravaganzas. Like, we would love to go to those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
I have never done P-Town, which is killing me for Family Week. But it is amazing, and you need to do it for sure. Because everybody I talk to about Family Week in P-Town, it, like, cannot talk about how amazing it is enough. So maybe we'll meet there. I can't go this summer. Next summer, we'll meet there.
Perfect. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it. I'm so excited for you. And you're a part of the family now. So please keep in touch. And please let me know when you have a moment and things are relaxed, when baby is here and all the things. I'm so excited for the two of you. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on to the Pride Extravaganza. It's amazing.
We're officially queer family. Yeah.
You are.
Since we're on the Queer Family podcast, we're officially a queer family.
You are. You
this
are.
This is like initiation.
You are a queer family. I can't wait. Can't wait. I can't wait to see the content that gets created with baby in tow. It's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. All right. Love you guys. This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you too. Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you to our sponsor of this here episode, California Cryobank. Don't forget to use code QueerFam26 to get that free level 3 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them. Let's do this.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.